We'd like to welcome everyone again today to Great Resolutions. My name is Marty Robert, and with me again today is Bill Lawson. Welcome, Bill.
Very good, Marty. It's good to be back here on the program.
Well, today, Bill, we're getting into a new series on the life of George Mueller. And we'd like to begin this first one to really consider how such a sinful person can really be changed by our wonderful Savior. And I think in this program today, we'll see how the Lord's real great mercy reached George Mueller when he was a young man. And I'd say when he was actually a pretty wicked young man. And of course, many have heard about George Mueller. He was born in 1805. He lived a long life to 1898. And he's considered by many believers as maybe one of the most notable servants of the Lord in the history of the church. And, of course, he's known for his work with the children and the orphanages, but mainly his main impression that he gave people and he wanted people to learn was to live a life of faith. And he's considered by some to be a great giant of faith. But George Mueller himself really didn't like to be considered in that way. He said the faith that he had was just what he received every time he came to the Lord and read the Word and prayed over the Word. The faith in him just grew, and he began to live by that faith. And one thing I think is very notable is that George Mueller, throughout his life, he never forgot that he was just a real sinner saved by the Lord's grace. And that's really what we want to see here today, that it is possible. Maybe some of the young people listening to this, and maybe all of us to some extent, might be a little bit slow to believe that the Lord can dramatically change a person who is really a terrible sinner into a son of God. And I think George Mueller's testimony is clearly of that, showing that he was such a wretched, unbelieving, hard-hearted young person, but the Lord was able to come in by his mercy and by the shining of his light and really begin to do a great work in this brother George Mueller. So he's quite an impressive story.
It's true, Marty. He was such a wretch as he was. And of course, we'll get a little bit into his profligate and evil background. You couldn't imagine how such a sinful young man like this. I mean, he was not just a little naughty boy.
Right.
He was sinful. He was evil. He indulged in sinful pleasures that probably would shock us today. Yet the Lord could take such a vessel, work on him, mold him, and use him to be such a giant testimony of faith to other believers.
That's right.
I know, Marty, a number of years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, a group of us, some believers, we went over to Europe and England and so on, United Kingdom, and we toured a lot of the Christian heritage sites over there in those countries. When we got to England, of course, we went to Wales and things like that, and we got into Bristol. You know, Bristol's on the western side, I think, of United Kingdom. And there, we were able to visit that original orphanage that the Mueller established. And his house, his original house is still there with a museum with all of his items, his books, his records. And so, and anyhow, to me, it was that was an unforgettable visit. So glad we're reaching the point where we're looking into George Mueller and finding out about this man of God, and that not every believer today is familiar with George Mueller. Maybe few believers are familiar with the life of faith that he lived. Again, he was born in 1805. Like you said, he lived a long life, died in 1898. Yet the Lord could use such a man after such a rough beginning.
Right. Well, Bill, we all know that no one is born a Christian. Not one of us is born with the life of God. The Bible tells us clearly in the book of John that we all must be born again. And we all know that through the revelation and the word that none of us has any merit before God. We can't get saved through our own effort or our own resolve to win favor in God's presence. The Bible tells us in Romans that there's none who are righteous, not even one. And we all have sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. But I don't know. I think maybe you could say there's some sinners who are good sinners and some who are bad sinners. George Mueller was really a bad sinner. You know, I mean, you look at even when the Lord was on the earth, he approached some people like Nicodemus, who was a very moral, upright man. Surely he was a sinner, but he was a pretty good person. Then you have, on the other side, you have someone like the Samaritan woman, who was quite immoral and unrighteous. And seemed like the Lord, he just delights to come to every man, to save every man, regardless of his background and condition. And Romans tells us that the righteousness of God comes to justify all those who believe without any distinction. And so when we go preach the gospel, we shouldn't be looking for good people. Right? The Lord came to save sinners.
Right.
And this is really the gospel, and George Mueller was a prime example of such a person, and he was that way right from his very youth. And maybe we could begin to tell the story, Bill, right from a very young age. George Mueller was involved in all kinds of wickedness and crime.
Yeah. But,
you know, he was basically had such a hard heart right from a young age.
I mean, it's amazing, Marty. He was, even as just a young boy, he got into stealing, into crime, into hardening his heart. He would even steal from his own father.
Right.
When his mom was dying on her deathbed, he was playing cards. You couldn't believe it. And then the next day, he was drunk in the streets of the town where he was. He lied. He swindled people. He cheated people. He stole from people, even his own fathers. He was running around the streets, carousing, and no doubt drinking a lot. It was like, my goodness. I mean, what else can you do wrong? You know, yet the Lord's mercy. You know, like the book of Romans tells us that, you know, in those 16 chapters, God's intention is to turn sinners into sons of God for the formation of the body of Christ. And this is what the Lord did to George Mueller.
Mm-hmm.
He turned around that sinful, evil young man, a sinner. I mean, a real sinner, not just, you know, once in a while. I mean, like he lived in the flesh, indulging in the flesh and evil things. Yet he turned George Mueller around and made him a son of God. A real testimony of God's grace. Marvelous.
That's right. Well, it's interesting to see, Bill, that right in the midst of his activity, his hardness of heart, his criminal activity, and his sinfulness, the Lord touched him a few times.
Yeah.
And he resolved. He would try to get out of these kind of things, and he would make resolutions, even when he would be caught by his father stealing. He said initially he didn't really have any remorse. He was just trying to figure out how he could do it next time more cleverly without being detected. And he just went on his way stealing more. But once in a while, he did attempt to make some resolutions and turn from these vices. Just reminded me of Paul's writing in Romans 7, where he says sometimes he did not do the good which he wanted to do,
right.
But he found that there was evil present with him, and he ended up doing the things that he wished he wouldn't do. That's the things he ended up practicing. So I think George Mueller began to realize by his own strength, all his resolutions came to nothing, and he just grew worse. And so as time went on, as he got a little bit older, he began to indulge more and more in all kinds of sinful pleasures. And eventually, later on, he testified, he realized he didn't care in the least about God. He had no real sorrow in his heart. And he cared nothing about the Word. It's pretty interesting that,
Yeah.
here he was a student,
Right.
and he said he owned, at one time he owned about 300 books, but he had no Bible,
Right.
and he esteemed other writers and all much higher than the one great volume of inspiration, the Bible. And so I think eventually George Mueller began to realize that he was surely living a life
Right.
without God in the world. In fact, one time he testified, he said it was a bitter, bitter thing to be under the service of Satan in the world. And I think this was his testimony. It's interesting, Bill, maybe you could comment. At the same time he was living such a life, his dad was trying to get him into divinity school.
Right. That's so remarkable. Here's this one living in sin and wickedness, and his dad, of course, his father wanted to get him into divinity school, and of course, not so much at all to be a man of God, but because they paid pretty well, a clergyman. So the whole intention was to get him in to be a clergyman, that George could have a comfortable living. Yet it was not with any intention to minister the word of God, speak the word of God, know the Bible. It's just amazing. At the same time, he's reading not the Bible, he's reading books on, Horace, Cicero, Voltaire, Moliere, all these philosophers who had nothing to do, who were no longer believers than the man in the moon. And here, he's living in one lifestyle. He's in divinity school there, and then he's in the midst. He tries to, like you say, reform himself once in a while, and he's convicted a little bit, but then he falls right back into sin and the vices again. And then he of course he preaches within Lutheran circles, and then it's like in Romans 3, he did not understand God nor even seek out God. He was altogether useless in God's hand, and it's amazing that the Lord did not give up on him. So amazing.
Well, he was at this time far from God, even though maybe he was learning some things, some theological doctrines in his divinity school. Maybe he read things like Christ died for the weak and ungodly, but these words just had no effect on him. And
Right.
he said, he testified, he didn't know God. He didn't know the way of salvation. He
Right.
had lost all his proper moral sense. His conscience became callous. And he was surely a deceiver of men, and he was hypocritical before God. So basically, is like the word testifies that fallen man is just lost and without God in the world. George Mueller was surely dead in his offenses and his sins, and
Right.
he was really walking according to the age of this world, and still under the spirit which was operating in all the sons of disobedient. Of course, living in this flesh, and by nature, just one of the children of wrath. But fortunately, by the Lord's mercy, his story didn't end there.
Yeah.
The Lord really showed mercy to him. It's just a fact that his ones, those who are chosen by him, were chosen before the foundation of the world, before we could have done any good or evil. And so the Lord knew George Mueller from eternity, and had his eye upon him,
Right.
and began to prepare an environment, and was be doing a sanctifying work to bring George Mueller to himself. So it's quite interesting the way the Lord arranged things, even through one friend that George had, a fellow student who himself was a backsliding Christian. His name was Beta. And he began to travel and spend time with George. And it was through Beta that eventually George was began to be brought into into some fellowship. And I thought the way that the Lord used is quite significant here, Bill. Maybe you could tell the story about the home. I think the home is really quite interesting, the way the Lord used it to soften and open George Mueller.
Yeah, it's like you say, Marty. At this time in his university career, he meets this guy named Beta. Of course, reading some of the other biographies on Mueller, Beta at this time observed the sinfulness of George Mueller and was hanging around George so he, Beta, could learn how himself to get into more vices.
Right.
So, I mean, the friendship is amazing. Beta was attracted to George not because of his godliness, but because of his sinfulness.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to be friends. And, of course, I don't think Mueller, George, realized that, hey, wait a second, this guy Beta is a regenerated believer, but he's backslid, and there's no testimony in his life. And then one Saturday afternoon, I think about 1825, one day George asked Beta, you know, what are you doing tonight? And Beta said, well, I recently, George, you know, I started to meet with a gathering of these believers on Saturdays. Why don't you, you know, we just sing a little bit and pray and we read the word of God and so on. So I don't know. It's amazing. Evidently, George was really open that night. So, oh, maybe I'll just go with my buddy and check out this place. So he goes to this home. I mean, not a chapel, not a church building. He goes into this home of this man named Mr. Wagner. And he's just really touched by the environment of a few believers, praying a little bit, you know, the very warm home. The Lord just works on George, works on his heart, that these people, you know, he had never been in a Christian meeting before, and George is really touched by these people. They eventually got on their knees praying, and never seen that before, and then they sang a hymn, and then George talks about, you know, his feeling like this: I could not pray because they, you know, some were praying, and then I think maybe, I don't know if they asked him to pray, and he realized, man, I can't pray like these guys can pray, but I'm more intelligent than they am because they're not in divinity school. But anyhow, it didn't matter. Something happened deep in his heart of happiness and joy, and of course, what happened? He got regenerated.
That's right. So this was quite an experience for George Mueller. Of course, his Saturday nights were not used to doing, going to little gatherings of believers, for sure. He was used to
Saturday nights in the taverns.
Right. He was used to card playing, drinking, dancing. But I think he did realize there was a void in him, and he couldn't explain it. But when his friend Beta invited him, there was just something moving within him, motivating him to go. And he testified later that when he went, he felt a little bit awkward, and he knew that this was quite a godly environment.
Right.
And he even made an apology for being there. But so touching to me, the older brother who was there, Mr. Wagner, as the host, he told George, you just come as often as you like. And his house and his heart were open to him.
Wow.
And George Mueller said he never forgot such a warm welcome that he received. And of course, these other believers who were there were just shining. And of course, this is such a good testimony, especially to us today. We meet in homes and we invite our friends or relatives to come. And we just see in this example what an impact a home of shining believers just meeting in simplicity. They didn't have to try to spice it up and bring in anything of the world. George Mueller was just attracted because these believers had Christ, and they just met and spoke, read the word and prayed and sang a hymn. Anyway, this left such an impression on George. I think when he left that home that night, he told his friend Beta, he said, all that we saw on our journey to Switzerland when they were traveling, he said, all our former pleasures are as nothing compared to this evening.
Right.
So the Lord was really beginning to do a new work in George Mueller's heart, and this shining of these saints allowed the Lord a way to penetrate his heart and heart. And George got a little taste to see how good the Lord was. So I think this is so glorious a testimony of the Lord's good work through a group of believers to shine forth the gospel to such a hardened sinner.
It's almost like, Marty, it's like some seeds were sown at the beginning of George Mueller's life in the Lord that had a long-lasting effect upon him that really bore a lot of spiritual fruit later on. In a sense, it's probably like three or four seeds. You could probably sum it up like the first seed was like the incredible love and mercy and compassion that the Lord showed to such a great sinner. It reminds you of like Luke 7, you know, that woman. And then the whole point was whoever is forgiven the most loves the most. So no doubt George probably realized, yikes, I am a mess, but the Lord still loves me, treasures me, so he has forgiven me of everything, and no doubt probably he realized, I love the Lord even more. So the more we are forgiven, the more we love.
Well, of course, the seed of the Holmes had a big impact on George Mueller. He began to meet in this way in Holmes regularly and frequently for the most part of his life. In fact, I read he was actually meeting in a small, simple prayer meeting in his own home the night before he died. So we know that this was his testimony throughout his life, and we have to believe this had a great impact from the time of his salvation, that he met together just in a very simple way with other believers, not affected by all the trappings of a big edifice and the formalities of some religious service, but just a group of saints who were in the reality of Christ and ministering Christ to a new one in the home.
Yeah, I think too, like maybe another seed, Marty, we could say is that he was so touched with the Word of God. Of course, at the beginning, as a youth, he didn't even have a Bible. He was not even, didn't want anything to do with a Bible. And then eventually the Lord worked in his life, his whole life, to make the scripture paramount in his life, especially the very first time when he heard these believers reading the scriptures there in Mr. Wagner's home. So the Word of God, the scriptures, were a treasure to him, his life. And we'll get into that in some of the later lessons here on Eighth Turners. We'll see what kind of a godly man he was and how well he knew the Word of God and how the way he took in the Word of God by praying over the Word of God. So see that Mueller consistently and habitually read the Bible for the rest of his life.
Well, maybe lastly, Bill, we can just touch the matter of prayer. That night, George Mueller saw believers praying in such a genuine way in spirit that this really had an eternal effect upon him. And of course, we know that believing prayer became the hallmark of his whole life and service. And George Mueller's main burden in his living was to let believers know that our God is a living prayer hearing God. And he felt like all believers should realize that we have a great privilege and a great right to bring all persons and matters before the Lord in our prayer. So, of course, we'll get into that a little bit more as we go on in these programs to see what a prayer life George Mueller had and how the Lord answered so many of his prayers. We'll get into that. So I think maybe we'll conclude here for this time, Bill. It was quite enjoyable to see the Lord's great initiation of full salvation in our brother George Mueller. Amen. All right, Bill, well, we'll sign off here, and we encourage our listeners to tune in next time when we continue more fellowship concerning the life and service of our brother George Mueller.